Well, let's get started today. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice means to feel or show great joy or delight. And I love that. Matter of fact, over and over I kept saying, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will delight and be glad in it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We have great joy and will be glad in it. Now, biblical joy is a little different than the joy that we may experience out here in our emotions of the flesh. I had great joy when I got these gifts. And then when I broke those gifts, that joy went away. The joy that God gives us, the biblical joy, is different than the joy that we have as humans. Our emotional joy, it's different. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And as we get into the Christmas message here, I want us to pay close attention to what we're reading. Whether you're listening to my voice or you're reading it in your translation of it, pay close attention to what is being said here. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. I know that's a bunch of verses, right? And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, let me just stop there for a minute. There's several things that come into play here for all this to take place. You ever gone to a town and it was so packed with visitors that there was no room in the inn? Anyone ever experienced that? Yeah, my wife and I did. Going through the southern part of New Mexico, I've got something going on in this town. They had this jazz festival or something going on, and there were bands everywhere playing. We enjoyed the evening and said, we'll just get a hotel and not drive back home to Albuquerque when we live there. We'll just stay the night here. We'll run over to Walmart. We'll get some toiletries and be ready for tomorrow. We did all that. And then set about trying to find a place to stay. Every place we went, there's no room in the inn. There's no room in the inn. There's no room in the inn. You'll be hard-pressed finding a place tonight. I mean, the next towns over are even full. I looked at Cindy and said, well, I guess we have some new toiletries. Let's head back to Albuquerque. It's pretty late now, 1-2 o'clock in the morning. We're driving down the back roads of New Mexico. You get a little groggy until you round the corner. Boom! There's that big animal standing in the middle of the road. Shows up out of nowhere. You wake up real quick. Sun wasn't quite up, but it was getting ready to come up shortly. I said, there's our place right there. It says rest stop, or rest area. And we pulled over and we rested there for a couple hours. Things had to be very specific for them to have to go to that town to register, and there'd be no place for them to stay. The angels already spoke to Joseph and Mary and said, you're going to give birth and you'll call his name Jesus. And And the time came, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That didn't just happen by chance. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. You know, I'd love to see angels like that. But I got to think, I'd probably be a little afraid myself. Oh, Lord, are you coming to take me? Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. That means they came quickly without wasting any time. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The angel showed up to who, of all people? The shepherds. Shepherds were dirty people. They were low people on the totem pole. And they were greatly afraid. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy." And this good news of great joy is for who? It is for everyone. For today a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord. Then what happened to the angels? They departed into heaven, and what did the shepherds do? Well, the shepherds went with haste, with no delay, and they became messengers telling others about the Christ child. Dirty, low people on a totem pole. God using unlikely people as instruments to spread the good news. Church, do not ever think that you're unworthy for God to use you, no matter who and what you are. Many of you have heard this story. When I went to Guatemala last, I was there alone, and I think God truly intended that for me to go alone. And we were in a recovery house with many people in it, men and women. And I sat in the back waiting for my turn to teach the lesson. And a lady was sitting next to me. And she said something to me. I said, "Oh, you speak English." She said, "Yes." And as we sat there, I thought, I don't really have a translator here. I had a sort of translator. I said, "Would you mind translating for me?" She said, "Oh, I don't think I can do that." I said, "Well, you already have. You've been telling me what they're saying up there." And I said, "Could you please translate for me? I could really use you." She said, "Yes." And at the end of my lesson or message, she began crying and speaking in Spanish. And I thought, I need someone to translate for me, because I don't know what she's saying. And she was telling the people there that she used to be a prostitute. And she said, I thought God could never use me. And I was done and I was dirty. And you sat next to me and asked me to translate. And God used me to translate His message. Don't ever think that you're unworthy for God to use. That you're too far gone, you're too far down, you're too dirty, you're too unworthy. If that's the case, Eric and I can just walk off. We don't have to worry about this because we too are unworthy. Then the angels left, and the shepherds are there telling people about everything they had seen. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And everybody who heard that message from the shepherds marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They had a message of great joy. You know, a couple weeks ago I was talking about hope. And I said, we're either positioned incorrectly or our purpose is not right. Who went to the men's breakfast yesterday? Raise your hand. Men's breakfast, raise your hand. And a young man there said, does anybody have anything of joy to share? And Fred said, I do. You have some joyful news, and what is that?
Linda and I are going to be grandparents on December 25th.
Hopefully. He has taken his joy and now shared that. And God says, man, I've given you joy. Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy for who? For all the people. Now, with Fred and Linda's joy, they've shared that. And now we are filled with joy for them and with them. And God says, man, I can multiply this joy. You see, it's not set in circumstances. It's great. It's great to glorify and praise Him in here, in the manger, kneel down in the presence of the Savior. But can we glorify and praise Him when we go out of this manger and go back to the fields? And when we go out of this place, that it's easy to focus on Him. Can we do it out there, church? The answer is yes, we can. And the second question, will we do it out there, church? Let me just ask it in a non-rhetorical sense. Will we do it out there, church? Yes. It's almost testimony. I have great joy. God said, I have things for you to do. Dwayne Chapman, there's much work to be done. Will we do it? Will we allow ourselves to be used? Will we be filled with joy? I got to tell you, the other night we went to a band concert. A little rough. We had two little ones with us and a medium-sized one. Oh, good, Austin's not here. It's about him and his two children. Aurora was a little bouncy. Atlas was pretty good, but he was pretty pooped out, so he just laid on my lap, laid on my chest. And then the medium-sized one, Austin said, "How long is this going to be? When will it be over? I'm starving." I said, "Son, me too. Hang in there. We can do it." And we couldn't. We left early. I said, "Cindy, please order a pizza that we may go pick it up on the way home." "Did you order the pizza?" "I think so." Well, when we got to the Mazio's drive-thru window, we found out that, no, it didn't happen. They don't have our order. "How long will it take you to make it?" Because I know when I call it in, they say 15 to 20 minutes. "How long will it take you to make it?" "At least 45 minutes. "Okay, you're done working for the night, I see. They don't feel like making another pizza unless they have to." So I said, Little Caesars is down the street. And I said, "Let's go there." And as I pull in, Cindy says, "There's a drive-thru." I'm like, "What? I don't know how to get there." "Okay, whatever." I just pulled in, and normally I'd say, "Go in and get it." But I said, "I'll go get it." And I went in. And as soon as I walked in, a young man behind the counter said, "Good evening, how are you?" I said, "I'm great. Do you have any sausage pizza?" He said, "No." I said, "For goodness sake, please tell me you got pepperoni." He said, "Yes." I said, "That's great." He said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Why, yes, I am." He went, "No, really, are you?" I said, "Yes. Look, here's my card. This is my church. Yes, that's my name. Here, here's my ID. It matches. That's me." He said, "Are you really?" I don't know what more to do. "Yes." I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Would you pray for me?" I said, "Absolutely. Specific or generic?" He said, "Generic. I have things that I'm praying about. I want someone to pray for me." I grabbed his hand right then and there and thought, anyone sitting outside thinks I'm robbing this guy. But I grabbed his hand and said, "Let's bow our heads right now." And I went to praying for him. And I thank God for his boldness to ask for prayer. I invited him here. He's not here. But I got the feeling that he had a home church. He just wanted prayer. And I got out in the car and I told Austin and Cindy. She said, "Oh my goodness, there's a reason that order didn't go through at Mazio's. And there was a reason you weren't smart enough to go through the drive-thru." She didn't really say that, but she probably thought it. And I thought, oh my goodness. God, thank you for allowing me to be used as an instrument. And it filled me with joy. But like the shepherds, I went to work the next day. I said, "Man, you're not going to believe what happened to me yesterday." And I told a man and a woman in my office what happened, you know, co-workers, what happened. They said, "Wow." Now, one guy I've worked with many years in the past. We worked together for 10 years, and now we've been back together for a year. And I've always been trying to get him into a church body. And the next day after that, young lady said, "Hey, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah, come on in." She comes in the office. She said, "I'm going to close the door if that's okay. It's personal." I said, "Uh-oh, okay." I have a big window there. I leave that open. She said, "I hope I can say this without crying." She immediately started crying. I said, "Good news. I have a box of tissues that's full." And she said, "Yesterday, you told me that guy asked for prayer and said, 'Would you pray for me?' And you said you prayed for him." I said, "Yes." And she said, "Could you do that for me? Ask him, could you pray for me? Because I'm having a really tough day." I said, "Oh my goodness, absolutely." Again, specific or generic? Shared some things, and I said, sit right here. And I held her hands. And I prayed for her right there. She said, thank you so much. I said, listen, I can pray for you anytime. I said, but I saw in a movie one time, a guy said, would you pray to your God? The guy said, he hears my words just the same as he hears yours. And the guy said, the guy in the movie said, it's been a long time since we've had a relationship because I'm not too happy with him. Because he allowed his little boy to die. That's how the guy looked at it. He said, he hears your words just the same as mine. So I shared that with her. And she said, I think my son, who is 7, is trying to get me to go to church because all of a sudden he's been talking about God. He doesn't go to church, but he's been talking about God and has questions. And again, I was filled with joy. And I tell you these stories, not say, oh, good job, Adam. But I'm telling you this so you know that God can use us all at any time for any reason. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Great joy. God can use you. You have to open yourself up. Uh-oh. Okay. There's the tough part. I shared with both these people the Advent message, and I'm finding this more and more powerful just in my faith walk. That I must be filled with hope, and I must share hope. And I must be filled with peace. He says, my goodness, where possible, be at peace with others. He shall be peace and then joy. He can use us if we open ourselves up. Because all of this and sharing this with others shows His love, which is next week's focus. It shows His love. Being Christ-like, oh my goodness, it takes time and commitment and submission and obedience and focus and love and compassion and humility. Oh my gosh, Adam, do you have to keep going? No. But if you want to be Christ-like, yes. Adam, I want that. Could you read the list once more? And let me start with just a couple of them. It takes time. I left work the other day. I met with some folks out here. And then I headed back in the city to do a hospital visit for one of my coworkers that is having a tough time right now with his health. Probably won't be able to return to work. It takes time. And it takes commitment. And it takes submission. I could just text him that I'm praying for him. And I do that with many of you. I text and let you know that I'm praying for you. It takes submission. God, I submit to you. To what? Your authority. Your will. Your desire for my life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It takes obedience. It takes a focus on His word. And it takes a focus on other people. Love. Please don't say it, Adam. Please don't say it. Yes, love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. Church, that means you've got to love yourself. Shepherds, dirty people, low people on the totem pole, love yourself where you are. And realize God wants you to be somewhere else, into a greater place. It takes compassion That's painful in itself. Compassion takes time and effort. And is sometimes painful. And it takes humility. All those things that we don't want to give up. My time, Adam. My time is valuable. Eric has nothing going on in his life. He's got all kinds of time. No, he doesn't. His time is valuable too. Yet Eric spends countless hours every week preparing for Wednesday night Bible study, for Sunday messages, the slides, the computer, the website, praying, visiting. It takes time. Those things we don't want to give up. But the reward when we do that is great joy. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, the pizza boxes that I did one time. Oh no, this blessing is enough. I'm so thankful to have a little morsel of this little personal pan pizza. Well, if you had a medium, there'd be more to share. Oh my goodness, someone had a medium and they were able to share the blessings with me, so I had more blessings. Then there's the large and the extra large. But then there's the shakaroni. That double. That's where he says, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to have my joy. But not only that, have it to the full. I don't want you to walk out of here starving for my word. I want you to have my joy and have it to the full. The reward is great joy. Overflowing into all aspects of life. Oh good, it sounds like my troubles are over if I do these things. No, not necessarily. But those troubles are lessened. The focus on those troubles are lessened. Okay, church, here it goes. We're getting down into the meat of things here in just a minute. But like the shepherds, don't shoot the messenger. We can no longer be marginal Christians. I can no longer be a marginal Christian. You can no longer be a marginal Christian experiencing marginal blessings, little sprinkling, little dusting. I want His blessings to be like a blizzard. I don't want a dusting of snow. I don't want a dusting of His blessings. I want a blizzard of His blessings. I want to be buried in His blessings. We can't have marginal or deferred hope that I talked about the other day, where your hope is dashed to pieces. Temporary peace that Eric spoke of. Marginal peace. Well, I have it about once a week from 10:30 to 11:30 or 12. But when I go out there, I have no more peace because everyone's mean to me. Minimal or fading joy that leaves with our circumstances or comes with our circumstances. And then this one, love. Conditional love. Well, I love myself when I do good, but when I mess up, I hate myself. We can no longer be marginal Christians. And sometimes I speak of the church and I speak generically, and now I'm talking about prayer faith. God is calling prayer faith to a newer level of commitment. I believe that. He's calling all of us to a new and a greater sense of purpose and commitment and focus and obedience and submission. He says, did you get more in 24? Or was it life as usual? Did you experience a spiritual awakening in 2024? Or was it life as usual? Oh my goodness, I forgot to look for the spiritual awakening. Oh my goodness, I was so focused on doing what I was doing, I missed the more all throughout 24. It's almost over, guys. The year is almost over. What have you done with it? He's calling us to come alive in 25. Yes, write that down. Thank you, Pastor Eric. He is calling us to come alive in 25. Church is going to take something different. But it will be something that will bring you great joy. And you'll be able to share hope with others because of things you have been through and overcome. You now have hope and are filled with hope. And you can now share that with others. You have been through great trials and tribulations, but you have overcome that. And have peace. You have great sorrow. And His Word says, I will turn sorrow into joy. But you must, as Thelma said earlier, have love for one another. That includes your neighbors. And how you treat them. That includes your enemies. That includes this church body. That includes your family. You must have love. For without love, God's Word says, man, it's nothing but clanging cymbals. Banging drums. And I don't know that you have these to the full without that love. With God's love. His unconditional love for us. Today, choose to become messengers of the good news that is of great joy to all people. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Christmas message. We thank You, God, for using the shepherds. God, we thank You for the example that You can use anybody for any purpose. God, today may we be reminded of the entire Advent season of hope, peace, joy, and love. God, may we focus on that throughout the year. God, may we open ourselves up to be used as instruments for Your message, for Your work, for Your church. God, those things I mentioned that You call us to possibly give up and sacrifice at times, our time, our talents. God, that we may submit and be obedient. Things didn't happen by chance, with there being no room in the inn for the birth of our Savior. God, today I pray for those that may be hurting, those that may be lonely, those that may be depressed, those that feel oppressed. God, I pray for those that are suffering, that are sick and in need of healing, that are hurting, that are lost, those that need restoration. God, you have brought light into a dark world. May we all be drawn closer to your light. In Jesus' name, amen.